Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Well, everyone was buzzing about the possibility yesterday, but today, Big Poppy made it official.
I picked this day to announce that after next season, I'm going to be done with my career and playing baseball.
Red Sox DH David Ortiz chose today, his 40th birthday, to announce his retirement.
I wish I can play another 40 years, so I have you guys behind me, but it doesn't work that way. And after next year, time is up, so let's enjoy next season.
Oh, so what's your reaction to the news that David Ortiz is going to step away from the plate? Who's going to hit those monster home runs now? And what's your favorite Big Poppy memory? And what do you think the retirement of such a beloved player means for the Sox and the city? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Facebook or send us a tweet at Radio Boston. So we've got our own great lineup here to talk about Ortiz. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. He joins us on Wednesdays anyway, so it's great to have you, Bill.
I was in the building. It's easy to find me.
The easiest booking ever. Also today, Richard Johnson. He's curator of the New England Sports Museum and co-author of Red Sox Century and editor of the American Game, Baseball and Ethnicity. Richard Johnson, welcome to you.
Thank you.
And also, keen Radio Boston listeners will know just how encyclopedic his knowledge of the Red Sox is, so we've dragged in my former co-host Anthony Brooks, who's now WBR senior political correspondent. Anthony, good to have you.
Always good to be here, Meghna.
Okay, so gentlemen, dive in. What's your response? What's your reaction to Big Poppy saying he's done after next season?
Well, I think we should let Richard start because he's the one who can bring a historical perspective to this whole thing. And I think on a day like this, that's what's called for, don't you, Richard?
Yeah, well, you know, I think they probably are measuring him for the statue that will be placed in back of the right field stands, because there certainly is a spot for that. And you're talking about a player who is the standard bearer for the guys we still call the new owners. He basically is a player who came to Boston through the good graces and intelligence of Pedro Martinez, his teammate and Dominican brother, and is really a player who... Interestingly enough, like his counterpart from the 1970s, Louis Tiant, arrived here almost as a complete castaway. You know, he was the player that, you know, the Twins didn't really want. And he comes here and becomes an icon. Yeah. Weren't we lucky?
Well, the great advantage to that, of course, is you arrive with bearing no expectations. Red Sox fans didn't think they were going to get a larger-than-life right. figure when he arrived. There was no reason to think they were going to get such a figure based on his previous performance. And so everything he did was a bonus, and, of course, the bonus ended up being a great deal larger than most people anticipated
except,
it would be.
Except Pedro knew. I mean, I was just reading something that Ortiz himself wrote today talking about that moment when he had been released from the Twins in 2002 and he was in Santo Domingo, and he runs into Pedro Martinez, who then called... I guess apocryphally, or maybe it's true, I don't know, he calls up Theo Epstein and says, you got to get this guy on the Sox team. What David Ortiz wrote about that moment is he says that Pedro Martinez sat down and said that, this is what he said, listen, you're a great hitter. You know how I know? I threw you a cutter last season, high and inside. I threw it perfect, 92 miles an hour jam seed, and you smashed it into the upper deck. And nobody else hit like that. That's what Martinez told to Ortiz.
It's incredible.
I mean, he had it nailed from the start, right?
Yep. He really did. I mean, there's so many ways we can think about this guy. I mean, there's statistics, 9-time All-Star, more than 500 home runs, you know, one of the greatest postseason hitters, clutch hitters. But what I loved about him is two things. I mean,
not quite time to speak of him in the past tense.
Okay. what got, I love about this
we're
guy.
Talk,
what
gonna,
I have
gonna
always
talk later.
Loved about
we're,
this guy is
we've got to talk later about the fact that he has given us a 1 year worth of notice.
Fair enough.
Which is a kind of a recent thing for players to do. You know, yeah. Get ready to celebrate me at every ballpark that we visit because this is going to be my last season.
But the point I wanted to make is just he is so much fun. I mean, he's so much fun to watch. I think he's arguably one of the greatest Red Sox players ever because of that. I mean, you can talk about the statistics, but there's also this other thing that in this era of free agency and players coming and going, you know, he's stuck it out. He's been here for 13 years. He's really helped define this new era of the Red Sox, not to mention this whole sort of wonderful Dominican aspect to the Red Sox that really enlivened and changed the character of Fenway Park. I mean, I grew up in the city when, you know, the Red Sox were this tired, old, mostly white team. It was cold. You know, when Pedro Martinez pitched and Manny Ramirez was here and his buddy David Ortiz were at the plate, there was just, it brought a new style and energy to Fenway Park. And I love him for that.
You know, Anthony, I think you bring up a really good point because for me, one of the things about him, about a Big Poppy sticking it out is like it can make you, it help make you fall in love with the game beyond the business of baseball, right? Because if the turnover for teammates is so much, like, who are you really falling in love with? Well, Big Poppy was one of those people that you could because he was with us for so many years.
Well, and he came to Boston and came to a team that needed a big personality. He filled a role, and it wasn't just a role for somebody who could hit the ball 400 feet. I mean, it was somebody who could come into the clubhouse and be a gigantic presence. And it's interesting, you know, and Richard can probably do this more effectively than I can, but it's interesting to compare David Ortiz with some of the other players that the Red Sox have had over the decades who've been standouts. Carl Yastrzemski was a wonderful player who lasted for a great long time, but he never quite had the cast around him to win the World Series. Ted Williams, by his own admission, the greatest hitter who ever lived. He said so, and who's going to argue with him? But he never quite had the cast that was going to help him get to a World Championship. And the one time he played in the World Series, he was not entirely physically fit and had a tough time. Ortiz came along at just the right time. You know, he arrived without expectations, and all of a sudden, here's this ball club coalescing around him that's able to do what they were able to do back in 2004, which no team had done before.
Yeah.
Down 3-0 in the playoffs and beating the Yankees on Ortiz's home run and then going on to win the World Series.
Well, here you had a player who came from a background who's more baseball passionate than Boston. Not many players come here and embrace the mantle of really having to be the guy in Boston. It's tough. Talk radio, the print media, it's a gauntlet. And Big Pappy came here and just absolutely delivered the goods and did so with a style that, you know, some people viewed him as sort of a teddy bear with a, you know, swinging a 35-ounce bat and hitting the ball, you know, onto the Mass Pike. And, you know, others saw him as really the realization of, you know, finally answered prayers after 86 years and to have delivered the goods three times in the decade while the Yankees sort of are still trying to find the keys to the car. I love it. It is just absolutely... he is a persona that I'm sure, I mean, that he will remain in the employ of the Red Sox. And I'm guessing that next conversation in Santo Domingo will be Big Pappy talking to another castaway who will be heading to Boston.
Oh, let's hope so.
Let's hope so for sure.
I don't think there's any question about it. He basically will continue to be the heart and soul of the team off the field, too, the way that Pedro has been as well.
Yeah. Well, we're talking about David Ortiz, who today officially announced that he will be retiring from baseball after next season. So, listeners, what's your reaction to that news? What kind of loss is it for the Red Sox, for the big designated hitter to no longer be part of the team? Give us a call at 1-800-423-8255, 1-800-423-TALK. Share with us your favorite Big Poppy memory. You can also send us a tweet at Radio Boston. And Anthony, I know that you've got some really good Big Poppy memories.
Well, I mean, I want to talk just a little bit about, and Richard brought it up, and I think Bill did too. I mean, game four of the ALCS in 2004. And forgive me if I'm going to be a little self-indulgent here, but I got to cover that game for NPR. So I was there, and it went into extra innings. And I actually had already written the lead that I was going to be reporting the next morning for NPR, and it was basically the New York Yankees stifled the Red Sox four games in a row, and I honestly was at a point that I just wanted to go home. But then we know what happened. You know, you had this wonderful stolen base by Dave Roberts. The game gets tied into extra innings, and in the 12th inning, I was down along the third baseline, and every time David Ortiz came up to bat, I turned on my tape recorder because I wanted to get the reaction. And I got the reaction, and so here's what I recorded.
Yeah! Ortiz blasted Quantrill's pitch into the Yankee bullpen, circled the bases, and jumped into the arms of his ecstatic teammates at home plate.
Okay.
Game over. Sox win 6-4.
All right, game over. So that's what I reported for NPR. But here's the thing, that, and I admitted this a couple of years ago on Radio Boston, that scream.
I knew it.
That scream, it was me.
I knew it.
The dispassionate reporter just couldn't contain my enthusiasm. But listen to it again. Here it is.
Yeah!
That's me!
Yeah, but you didn't break any rules. Because although there's not supposed to be any cheering in the press box, you were not technically in the press
box.
It's true.
It would have been a different thing if I had been in the press box. Yeah, that would have been looked pretty. But still, but we got to talk about that game. So he single-handedly wins that game. But don't forget, that just brought the game to 3-1. And people in the press box were saying, well, at least, you know, we're going to be able to carry the Red Sox out on their shield. You know, they can go down in a dignified way. But they come back the next night, and Ortiz does it again with a walk-off single. Then they tie it, and then when they're, you know, when it's three games apiece, Ortiz killed the Yankees. Now I'm forgetting, Richard, you might remember, with a couple of home runs in that game. But anyway.
Well, you're sort of putting me on the spot, but I just remember it as being, the only adjective I can think of is describing it as being operatic, because just after Big Pappy delivers his two solos in consecutive games, Curt Schilling steps in with the bloody sock.
Yeah, it was really something.
And it is as epic a series as has existed in any sport. And the only time, of course, the team has come back from being down 3-0. And it resonates still. I mean, we'll never get tired of this.
But you can't imagine it happening without David Ortiz.
No.
Yeah.
Well, we've got some calls here again. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We're talking about Big Poppy's announcement today that he will be retiring from baseball after next season. My guests are Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game, our very own Anthony Brooks, WBUR senior political reporter and Red Sox uber fan, and Richard Johnson, curator of the Sports Museum of New England. Again, we're at 1-800-423-8255. Would love to hear what your favorite Big Poppy memory is. Let's go to Meg, who's calling from Amesbury. You're on the air, Meg.
Hi, how are you? I love the show. I won't be the only person to say this. However, the moment when Big Poppy took the microphone and announced, "This is our
bleep
effing city."
Yeah, Meg, hang on. Don't hang up. Hang on the line for just a second, because we do absolutely have that tape. And let's listen. This is after the marathon bombings in 2013. David Ortiz at Fenway Park.
This jersey that we wear today, it doesn't say Red Sox. He say Boston. This is our city. And nobody gonna dictate our freedom. Stay strong. Thank you.
So Meg, why is it that that mattered so much, especially coming from David Ortiz?
Oh, it was just pure emotion. And, he is such an affable, you know, wonderful character, and it just expressed enough anger, but, you know, enough bringing together of everyone. It just never fails to, you know, choke me up. I can't explain it exactly, but it's still means a great deal to me.
Yeah, it mattered. Meg, thank you so much for your call. Gentlemen?
I think Meg explained it really well. It was pure emotion. I mean, I know a couple of people, and I heard some criticism about him dropping the F-bomb there, but I loved that moment because I just felt like it did come from his heart. I don't think he went out in the middle of Fenway Park and planned to drop the F-bomb in front of 37,000 people. But in that particular situation, even though you had to explain it to your kids, even though, no, we don't want to talk like that, it mattered. As Meg said, it just was pure emotion. And I think it sort of spoke to something kind of essential about David Ortiz, that there is something real about him. And right. I thought that moment brought that home.
Well, it was the bookend of a season whose other bookend was Torrey Hunter's legs flying over the bullpen wall and Officer Horgan with his arms raised in victory as the Red Sox proceeded to demolish the Tigers on their way to yet another and their most improbable season since the Impossible Dream season of 1967. The 2013 team was, I'd probably say, easily a 20-to-1 shot in this age of multi-million dollar, you know, salaries. This was the closest that we could get to the Impossible Dream, and they did it in a year that Boston needed it the most.
Absolutely, yeah.
And David Ortiz is the leader of the band.
Well, let's take another call here. Cindy is calling from Medford. You're on the air, Cindy.
Hi. I have a bittersweet memory about David Ortiz. My dad's name was David, and on September 12, 2007, he died in the afternoon. And that night, my mom and I watched a Red Sox game, and it was the ninth inning, and the Red Sox were behind. And my mother spoke to the TV and said, please, David, hit a home run for my David. And he did, and the Red Sox won the game.
Oh, sweet story.
Love that story, Cindy. Thank you so much for your call. Gentlemen, there's another piece of tape that I want to play. And this is from just this past season because David Ortiz hit his 500th career home run. Let's listen back to the moment.
Ortiz to right field. Back goes Souza. Looking up. It is gone. David Ortiz, the newest member of the 500 club. Big Poppy, the greatest clutch hitter in Red Sox history, adds to his resume with number 500.
So actually, I'd love your help to help me understand, like, technically what made him such a great hitter.
What a great question. And I don't think anybody can answer it simply, but certainly one thing that made him such a great hitter was his own confidence that he was a great hitter. What happened when he came to Boston through whatever combination of events, and you read that little bit that Pedro Martinez had said to him. People tell him, if Pedro Martinez told me I was a great hitter, I'd probably believe it. You know, and I think that probably contributed something to it. There's also a certain amount of momentum. You succeed for a certain amount of time. You recognize your role in carrying your teammates and even in some cases surprising them with the home runs that you hit that help them win games. And pretty soon you come to believe it, and pitchers come to believe it, and they get a little careful. And before you know it, they make mistakes because they're being too careful and they're not thinking about just pitching. They're thinking about you, and you get a pitch to hit. All this can come together. And, of course, also he had a tremendous amount of natural talent, a work ethic that was certainly sufficient to the task. And all of this comes together and you get David Ortiz.
You know, it's interesting. I admire him for his decision to step out now, because it's not as though he was fading in a dramatic way. I mean, this last season he hit 273, 37 home runs,
RBIs.
108 RBIs. Yeah. And I remember seeing Carl Yastrzemski toward the end of his career at a game in Baltimore, and the fans were sort of riding him, the Baltimore fans, it has to be said. But they were saying, come on, Yaz, hit one for old time's sake. And not that Yastrzemski faded dramatically, but he was a shadow of his former self. And I feel like Ortiz is stepping out, if not on top of his game, still as a strong player. Mm-hmm. And I'm relieved. I'm glad that we don't have to go through the sadness of watching him play past his prime. of a, you know, of the Red Sox treating him shabbily, of a contract fight, and so on and so forth. So I'm grateful for that, and he'll be missed.
So, but what do you think it means for the Sox, though? I mean, it's absolutely true. So it's good to bow out when you're on top, but, you know, after next season.
Leaves a big hole. What do you think, Richard?
Leaves a big hole, but you know what? We didn't know he was coming. So yeah. The fact is
we keep coming back to that. That's
part
true.
Of the reason we pay attention and we're so, you know, engaging is it is a serial drama in which the next chapter is not written. It will be, though, and the fun is sort of seeing where things are going to lead. But at the end of the day, part of what Pappy leaves behind is a team that, unlike teams, the Red Sox teams of yore, this is a place where players want to come. Players want to come to Boston to play for the Red Sox. And he will be issuing that clarion call.
Well, and we also have all of next season to look forward to. What a great way to end this conversation. Richard Johnson, curator of the Sports Museum of New England and co-author of Red Sox Century and The American Game. Great to have you. Thanks so much. And Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Bill, great to have you, too.
Pleasure as always, Meghna. Thank you.
And Anthony Brooks, WBR senior political reporter, Red Sox superfan. Come on back anytime we do more Red Sox talk, Anthony.
Okay, thanks, Meghna.
And I want to hear you yelling more. More great moments from the baseball field.
We'll try to keep that under control, but I appreciate the offer.
And listeners, keep sending us your favorite memories of Big Poppy. Send us those tweets at Radio Boston. There's more of the show coming up in just a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.